بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. از خدا خواهیم توفیق ادب که با ادب با نصیب و بی ادب بی نصیب. We beg Allah Ta'ala for ادب. از خدا خواهیم توفیق ادب. We beg Allah Ta'ala for the ادب. توفیق, what is توفیق? Tawfiq is to have the right behavior at the appropriate time. What you're supposed to be doing at which time to be blessed with that. That's called Tawfiq. So every occasion is different. Each occasion is not the same. You show love to your mother also, but that love is different. And you show love to your wife also. But the love that you show to your wife is different. And you show love to your little child, and then that love is also totally different. Three different people, three different love you show. So what type of love is supposed to be shown at which time? That's called Tawfiq. So we beg Allah Ta'ala for that right type of behavior at the right time, in the right way. Now you call it complete, inshallah. So this can happen only with Allah Ta'ala. In my namaz, some thoughts pass by. See. So as I came across the word Subhana, right? Really, it's a ocean. It's not just one meaning. Ocean. What you are saying, Allah Ta'ala, that you are free of all type of limitations and defects. So that means I am loaded with problems and weaknesses. And even if I try, as much as I try, I will still have the defects. So then the right thing is, I must just accept it that I have got defects. If someone does point out a defect, then he's not wrong in pointing out the defect. Why must I take an exception to it? That is Allah Ta'ala. Bequsur, one that is faultless and free of any type of defects, Allah Ta'ala. So don't assume to be having the sifat, the attributes of Allah Ta'ala. He is that one. On our side, Allah Ta'ala likes appreciation. Allah Ta'ala had opened the heart of Mawla Ali Mir Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and he explained about appreciation. As we appreciate something, then it continues, it increases, its head is on. I say, see, a simple illustration to explain this. In the old, a man would comfortably walk 10, 15 kilometers, 20 kilometers. My late father, Mevatala, will his grave with Noor, if he had to see a doctor, we were living in Reunion, Spingarail, right? Then he would go on foot to Claywood, like a normal thing. Go on foot to Claywood and come back. And it wasn't like a big deal. He went right to Claywood to see a doctor. So at that time, they appreciated these limbs. They valued the limbs. Allah Ta'ala gave them that strength. Now we did not continue appreciating. From here to the top masjid, it's in the car. From the masjid, you have to go next door, it's in the car and go. So we lost the appreciation. When we lost the appreciation, so that strength also went away. In my childhood, we had to go to the Spingo Hills High School. You know, high school. That's the furthest school that you can find. One is here at the entrance, you find in school, I think they call it Primrose or something. And one is the furthest school that you can think of, right? But a very steep incline, very extremely steep. So sometimes Mr. Liv from Springer Beach walk right to that place. And I would think it's about, should be 7 kilometers or 6 kilometers. But we didn't think much about it. Now you ask me to do it, can't do it. So we left the appreciation, the strength went away. Right? In the Arab lands, then the camel was the mode of transport, right? It's a normal thing. Like you see how, like you see a car, right? Nowadays, the camel wasn't, right? Then they left the use of the camel. So now as we are traveling from between Makkah and Medina, and you spot a camel, you say, Yusharu ilayhi bil banan. Don't you say the children, see the camel. Whereas it was a common thing, like you see a Corolla, right? You don't say you see a Corolla, you see it all the time. Right? But now it became such a strange thing that you actually show others, hey, see this camel. So you appreciate these things, then Allah Ta'ala grants increase. Same with your health, with every other thing, wealth. There was in the morning of Shri Muna, that at home they taught us, right? You don't waste anything. Charities must give millions, but don't waste even one quarter teaspoon. Don't waste. Charities go give you how much you want. One quarter teaspoon also you don't waste. That's a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. Now you throwing it away is not appreciating. Like you see in the takeaways nowadays. Eating half, three quarter, and quarter they throw it away. Allah maaf kare, even in the da'wahs you're seeing, you're hearing from caterers, that they eat half and they waste half. And it goes, all goes into the waste. Now aren't we showing disappreciation? Then that's a recipe for losing. Childhood was like a family tradition to be in the shop. Must be there. From the age of 6-7 you will be starting. So now I used to be in the tea room. So you see the customers eating brown bread and mass, they should call it. Mass type of a yogurt, right? So they eat the inside of the bread and the outside, the crust, they leave it, they throw it. Later on, I got to hear from one buzur. He says, how can these people ever prosper when they're throwing away the food? Normally what we do is if there's something left over, then we leave it for the morning, we'll enjoy it, heat it up again, and enjoy that. But to throw away, say, they thought as a tour, not even a quarter teaspoon. To the extent, say for example, you used a spoon, right? Used a spoon for achar, or for curry, or for anything else, then after using the spoon, then wipe it with your finger. There will be something left. There will be something left on the spoon or whatever other utensil. Wipe it off, the knife or something. Lick the thing, eat the thing. But to throw it away, well, no, it's not right. It's as small as it is, but did you understand where it came from? It's Allah box. One person was having his bread, and some side of the bread was little overdone. And he began to throw it, cut the thing, cut and leave it aside. So Allah Ta'ala's inspiration came to him. You just threw our favor like this. You know the sun worked for it. The rain worked for it. The wind worked for it. The earth worked for it. Farmers worked for it. Animals worked for it. Until it reached you. And then you just go about throwing this away. You don't realize how much of Allah Ta'ala's forces combined worked for you to enjoy this one morsel of food. It's this appreciation. So in different ways, appreciation doesn't only mean say Jazakallah, Alhamdulillah, but also you have to say that. But it's not just restricted to that. It's how you use the clothing that we got, the health that we got, that do we appreciate? The parents that we got, do we appreciate? Small favors, big favors of Allah Ta'ala, just A precession actually is a prescription for continuity. Therefore my Ustad Abdul Rahman Sahib Rahmatullah says, you want your iman to continue. You want your iman to continue and you want your iman to grow. And one way to do it is to read 2 rakat namaz and show thanks to Allah Ta'ala for the blessing of iman. Because it is Allah Pak's promise that you appreciate and I'll increase. You appreciate and I'll increase. So in the day or whichever time of the day or the night, once 2 rakat of namaz, Allah Ta'ala only because of the favor of iman, you bless me with iman. Where would I have been? We just think for a moment where I would have been if it was not for iman. We don't know which bar will be in, which temple will be in, which church will be in, which nightclub will be in. We don't know what we will be doing. Drug, where we would have been. It is just the fazl of Allah Ta'ala. It isn't that we applied to Allah Ta'ala, or Allah Ta'ala needed us. There's not no such a thing. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. He doesn't need anybody. He's free of all wants, free of all needs. It was just his liking, his love, his muhabbat. All right, I'll bless these people here. Now, after he blessed you from so many billions of people, then we show scant regard, then how can it work out? So this blessing, think of it, understand it, and then appreciate it. Don't disappreciate, don't disregard. So the same branching from appreciation is appreciating dini elders. So I don't say just ulama. Dini elders can refer to ulama, right? Can refer to mashayikh, can refer to all jamaat workers who were the pioneers, you know, they brought work. Right? You don't know, one of them must be the catalyst for your children to become ulama and hufaz, right? Because someone must have come, you don't know what sincerity, what love, he must have knocked the door. He spoke to you, you got inspired, you were inspired, you sent your child, he became a hafiz, he became a mulana. And this is the result of that first person. That person was the catalyst. He's a spear, the seed lost in the ground. You can't see him. But you see the offshoot, what happened. Now sometimes we forget that. Maybe that one knock on the door, he reminded. I know in Durban, right, just in Durban, because we've seen the work from long, from the 60s we've seen the work, right? So I can tell you safely, without any exaggeration, I know of people wearing shorts, girls wearing shorts, right? Driving cars, right? Not right. Talking not from the 60s. Then their children became hufas and mulanas. See on which extreme and to where they have reached. Where to where. So now, don't we need to show appreciation? In the appreciation, a lot of things that go in the appreciation. One is to make dua for them. Whoever it is, whether it is that ulama, whether it is those mashayikh in the khanqahs, whether it is these old workers, whether it is those apas that taught you at the maktab level, right? That is the, I think, the most forgotten species. They've totally forgotten, out of them. When they've forgotten, I think to myself, they must be so sincere. Nobody talks about them. Right? We make one small jalsa, hivs and there's a khatam. And the khatam is a jalsa. And so many people are invited and food or whatever else, right? Right? It's such a big show it is, right? We will not say that they're doing it out of a show or whatever else, but it's such a big occasion. But for years, these apas are teaching, many jalsas coming up. No jalsas. And do you see that 97% of the Muslim population, their deen is sustained by the maktab. These apas, and those are teaching that at the, in that very basic level, the deen is being sustained. But they are the most forgotten and most unappreciated people. How many of us appreciate, make dua for them, see to their well-being, now if they are old or whatever they are? Do we think about this thing? You know, there was Hafiz Musa, right, who was teaching some maktab in Chatsworth, right? Quite an old ustad, very old ustad. And he passed away. So his wife, after about maybe 2 weeks or 3 weeks, she saw him in the dream. But his whole life, as I understand it, he was teaching in the maktab. So not a like a great Mulana or a Buzurg or something, but consistent for about 50, 60 years, he kept teaching at the maktab. That was his life. Whole life, Musa Sheikh. So he taught at the maktab. So not a person that is popular, not known. Nobody talks about him. And he carried on. So he passed away. And I think maybe 3 or 4 weeks after he passed away, then his wife saw him in the dream. How he was very well, as though he's in Jannah, in the park, playing in a swing or something, whatever, enjoying himself. And then he said, hey, you know what? I forgot to return that one register. So please do return that register to the Talimi board. Now this is the second place where I've heard this. One is I saw this with Sahabi. He made a bequest after his death to Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, that you see my armor, it's mine, right? It's a very expensive commodity. I earned it in a certain way, but very expensive. And it is lying somewhere. Someone had made a plan for it and hid it at a certain spot. So you go and fetch it from there. And you see to that my accounts are settled. Well, that comes in the hadith. I don't know if it's Hayat al-Sahaba, but I know I've seen this myself personally. Exactly as he said, they found it, and the accounts were settled. So a bequest after death. Normally a bequest is before death. When a person is alive, he makes a bequest. You don't have hear of a bequest after death. So this was the second thing. So now, the wife is looking, if Musa by Hafiz Musa must have been about over 85, what is age? 86. That was Gregorian, and Islamic must be 89, 90 was it. So she is looking high and low. I can imagine now, he was 86, and the wife was so, but she couldn't be looking so much now, high and low and all that. She couldn't see so much. And in a few days, the daughter was there in the house, so the mother shared the dream with the daughter. Now they're looking high and low, emptying this cupboard, that cupboard. Eventually they found that register. Right. So a bequest after that. But you also understand how important it is to see that people's rights are fulfilled. See, this was suspended. And he understood now that this was suspended, I have to accomplish this. Otherwise I'll get into problems. So he notified his wife that this has to be returned. See, when you are working somewhere or whatever, and the rights of people, small, big, sometimes some things are overlooked. We don't think much about it, whether the time, whether the commodity, whatever, but we don't think much about it. And then when you move on to the next realm, and when you understand, hey, it's problem, I would say that register may be less than 4 or 5 rands. But then he understands the consequence by that register also, but just hand it back. They found it, alhamdulillah, and they returned it, alhamdulillah. It would have not been much, but you see the importance of hukuk, fulfilling of rights, not disregarding, not neglecting rights, small right, big right, small thing, big thing. One. The actual gift is the inspiration that Allah sends to the heart. Then the inspiration, you don't have to have a qualification for the inspiration to come. The inspiration, the condition for the inspiration is His compassion, not your eligibility. Don't think now I'm eligible, now I must get it. No, the condition is His compassion. If His compassion says it, then you are it. So you have to ask, that's why, لِكُلِّنْ جَعَلْنَا مَوَالِيَا. Allah Pak says after, وَاسْأَلُ اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِي. وَاسْأَلُ اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِي. Ask for His grace. Don't think that you are eligible at any time. His grace says it and you are it. Mas'alullah min fadli. So his grace was just said that. And the thing that strikes his grace is his compassion, not your eligibility. Don't think of that. But that doesn't mean now, don't try. You must try to become eligible. You must try to become, knowing that you won't make it. But you must try. See? In the Quran, Allah says all these things here. One is, Was'alullaha min fadli, right? One is, Wallahu yakhtassu bi rahmatihi man yasha. Wallahu yakhtassu bi rahmatihi man yasha. He will select who he wants. But then he also says, Wa yahdi ilayhi man yunib. When you turn towards me, then I'll bless you. Though he says that I will do the selection. But he also says, alright, this is the procedure. You show humility, you come, and you try as much as you can, and I will make it happen. So why he says that? That at the time it happened, then don't think that you made it happen. Allah made it happen. At any given time, this yaqeen will just keep improving. Yaqeen of Allah Ta'ala. We see about Yusuf alayhi salam, right? قَالَ لِلَّذِي ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ نَاجِمْ مِنْهُ مَسْئُرْنِي عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّي فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِذَا سِنِينَ. Right. So, they say now, right, see now, he had to languish in prison for several years. But what was the apparent cause for him to languish? قَالَ لِلَّذِي ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ نَاجِمْ مِنْهُ مَذْكُرْنِي عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ. He gave the interpretation of the dream to two satis. You will be the cupbearer of the king, and you will be crucified. So he told them both, what's going to happen? But the one that he understood, that he will be saved, said, مَذْكُرْنِي عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ. When you're out, then don't forget me, please. Say one sati is in prison and he's languishing in prison for no valid reason. So just remember me now. As a human being, he said this. So now the Mufassirin are saying, see, the point that the Mufassirin are showing here is that, see, when you wanted to be in prison, then you asked me, Rabbi, as-sijnu ahabbu ilayya mimma yad'unani ilayya. She's threatening that if you don't, وَإِلَّا إِلَّمْ يَفْعَلْ مَا أَمْرُ لَيُسْجَنَنَّ. You don't do what I say, you go into prison. You don't do what I say, then you will go into prison. Again, you see, what is more important, life or ibadat, action? See, so Yusuf said, he's not worried about life. He said that action is more important, to refrain from haram. Therefore he says, السجن أحب إلي مما يدعونني إلي. See, to languish in prison is easier for me than to accede to these people's request. What you're not saying, ask me to do zina. So I rather stay in prison. Now you see the maqam of a Nabi. And you see the maqam of a Nabi, and also you see the istihzar. You know, we talk about istihzar, the presence of Allah Ta'ala. That this is alright, but I can't see myself violating the command of Allah Ta'ala. Any situation. I must violate the command of Allah Ta'ala. I can't see that. I'd rather be in prison. Now you see the maqam of this Nabi. I don't say we should be saying that. If we are in that predicament, right, then you will beg Allah Ta'ala for afiyat. Allah Ta'ala, take me out of with ease, right? But now the maqam of that Nabi is such that he doesn't mind being there. Rather than going into this indecency, he doesn't mind that disgrace. Because you know that disgrace is not disgrace in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. Amongst people it's disgrace. But by Allah Ta'ala it's not disgrace. And in fact, up to the end of time, we will speak in praise of Yusuf al-Islam. That look at the purity, the chastity, the cleanliness of this person here. He doesn't want to be anywhere near. Till the end of time, we'll give him an applause for that, won't we? So, the Mufassirin are saying, when you wanted to be in prison, then you asked me. You asked me directly, Rabbi, as-sijnu ahabbu ilayya mimma yad'unani ilayya. Wa illa tasrif anni kaydahunna. If you don't turn away their conspiracies, I'll become of them, I'll do all this thing. See that again, you know, I said, Subhana. So that presence of mind, but if it is Allah Ta'ala's will, it will happen. It's the grace of Allah. وَإِلَّا تَصْرِفْ عَنِّي كَيْدَهُنْ أَصْبُ إِلَيْنَا وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. If it is not for your grace, then I will be messed up. See that presence of mind, any amount of ibadah, but still to understand that it is the grace of Allah Ta'ala that's turning you from right, from wrong, and putting you on right. And وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ, another meaning comes out from this ayat here. وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. You see, in Surah Nisa, right? Allah says, إِنَّمَا التَّوْبَةُ عَلَى اللَّهِ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السُّوءَ بِجَهَالَةٍ إِنَّمَا التَّوْبَةُ عَلَى اللَّهِ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السُّوءَ بِجَهَالَةٍ, right? So they have done wrong in ignorance, then their tawbah is accepted. One who has done a wrong, and he's done a wrong in ignorance, so then his tawbah is accepted. But now the question comes up, but I knew about it, I knew that it was wrong and I did it. So can you say that you've done it in ignorance? Now see, this verse here answers that. وَإِلَّا تَصْرِفْ أَنِّي كَيْدَهُنَّ أَصْبُ إِلَيْهِنَّ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. If you don't remove the conspiracies from me, then I will do this wrong and become of the jahils. So, can you say that Yusuf al-Islam didn't know the wrong, he knew the wrong? Then what it means that I would have become of a jahil? What it means? It means I would have been behaving like a jahil. Have you said that? You're not a jahil, but you're behaving like a jahil. That's what it will mean, right? That behavior of a jahil, what it means? It means that for the moment that you did the wrong, then you just went blank. Your intelligence just got blocked and you did the wrong. You ask someone went into zina or something, whatever he did, right? He said, I knew it was wrong, but for that moment, I just got blank. And I did the thing. Then I realized what I've done. For the moment, I just got blocked. So, he got blocked, in other words, it got blocked from seeing the consequence. I did the wrong, right? Before I knew it was wrong. But at that moment, you know, at that crucial moment, then my intelligence just went blocked. And I did that. Then I realized, but what I did, I caused that thing. So that's the meaning of jahalat. But at that time that you committed the wrong, you didn't think of the consequence. At the time that you've done it, knowing it was wrong, but at that time you didn't think of the consequence. So that is explained as jahalat. The poet says, La tajhal ahadun alayna fa najhal fokal jahlil jahilina fa najhal fokal jahlil jahilina. You don't cause it with me, don't, you know, I would say, don't overstep the mark, don't tramp my toes, I'll fix you up. So he's saying, fa najhal جَهْلَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. We will mess you up. فَنَجْهَلْ جَهْلَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. One is what a uncouth person will do, you know, a raw person will do. We will do something worse than what a raw person does. You know, جَاهِلَ, I can't find a better meaning than raw, you know. You know, how the ruffians, how they treat. You know, we will treat you worse than a ruffian would treat. So come back to this verse here. So, as though Yusuf al-Islam is correcting him, that when you wanted to go to prison, then you pleaded to us. But when you wanted to get released of the prison, then why you went to someone else? Uskurni inda rabbik. Why did you say that? Why didn't you refer to us? So falabisa, as a result, falabisa fi sijdi bi dasinin, had to languish further some few more years in the prison. Now, there's two things that you need to share and understand here, right? One is this, then when you are in a musibat, then why are you talking so much about people, or he is the cause, that person is the cause, and this person, why are you talking so much about it? See here, Allah didn't like it that you talk, you refer to someone else. So when engaging, why you refer so much? Why don't you talk to me? Why don't you ask me for relief? Why don't you cry to me? Why talk about this person and that person and the third person? Why don't you talk to me? So that's the one thing, right? But similarly, also understand the maqam of a Nabi, right? The position of a Nabi is so great, so great. You raise your head, the topi will fall off. The maqam of a Nabi is such. It's far than what you can imagine. For a small mistake, right? Then Allah Pak takes it so serious. For us now, it is normal. I am a Muslim now. Hey, come and bail me out. I am a Muslim, right? That will say it's normal behavior. But for the Nabi, why did he refer to Ghairullah? Why did he refer to me? When you wanted to go, you referred to me. Then similarly, your maqam is that when you wanted to go, you referred to me. I made the circumstances that you go in. So you had that aqidah, you knew that I can do it, I will do it. So at the time that you wanted the release, then why didn't you refer to me? Why did you refer to someone else? And you see that Nabi's maqam. Now I don't say that we should be also imitating the Nabi in that respect. See, in this respect, you're not there. When you're not there, then you don't follow, you don't, in these type of things that are of the higher maqam, then you don't say, no, if the Nabi did this, then I can also do the same. Yes, if your iman is at that level, and you did something, then it's a different thing. But if your iman is not at that level, and then you're doing this, then this is pretending. This is imitation, right? It's not genuine. Some things are accepted for some people, but it's not a general rule. For some persons, it's accepted. See the muhaddiseen, they write about someone wants to give all his wealth, everything in the path of Allah Ta'ala. In the battle of Tabuk, that Abu Bakr gave everything. Right. So now, henceforth, if someone comes into the Josh, it should be everything I should give. So, will that be allowed? So the answer is that you become Abu Bakr first, then you do it. But you haven't become Abu Bakr, and you want to do this, that's wrong. So to become Abu Bakr, you need three things. One is, if you have given everything away, everything, then you will not complain, let alone your tongue, even your mind, you won't have any complaint. You won't feel uncomfortable. Hey, I give everything now. I don't have anything, man. Not even a... I don't even have a bar of soap. So you won't have any type of reservations. You won't have any type of complaints, even mentally. Nothing. You're feeling absolutely comfortable, relaxed. No problem, you have, right? That's why I say you become Abu Bakr, then do that. But you're not at Abu Bakr's level, then don't say, no, I can do what he did. Now that's a claim. لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفَلُونَ. Why are you claiming things that you're not practicing? You can't do it, but why talk about it? Stand at your level. So you mustn't have any type of reservation after you've done it. Not mentally, not verbally. Number two, you mustn't be in the arrears. There's nothing left outstanding. Alright? You went and gave everything. Now, these are the creditors. Hey, you're a clever thing. Give everything. What about my rights? Won't they come complaining? So you mustn't have anything in the arrears, nothing left unsettled. You must get everything settled. Otherwise, yeah, you're going to do some charity, and then you smash that person. You can't go to and do do charity with someone else's wealth. Can't do that. The intention was very good, very lofty, very great intention. But in the process, haven't you smashed someone's right? Number two. Number three, they say also, third condition is, your dependence must be like you. If you are comfortable, and you have no reservation, no hesitation, you feel comfortable with that, then all your dependents, your wife, children, whoever else depends upon you, they also are on the same page, on the same wavelength, like yourself. Now, what's the proof that Abu Bakr radiyallahu's dependents be on the same wavelength? The proof for that is when Abu Bakr radiyallahu, when he made hijrat, right? The next day, the grandfather was in the house, right? Abu Quhafa. It must have been Asma or someone, radiyallahu anha. And the grandfather obviously will ask, your father left something for you all, you know, the kharcha, the expenses and all. So has he left anything? So it's a young girl, I can imagine, Asma said, couldn't have been too elderly at that time. She must be young, 7-8 years of age. But now she's so relaxed and comfortable. The grandfather was blind, right? So she put some pebbles or something, maybe on a table or something, and she covered it on a cloth, covered with the cloth. She said, he left me, see, feel here. He felt something, then it's alright. So if it was, the Asma wasn't happy, then that was the most suitable time to complain, hey, Dada, do something for us now, man. See what happened now. Wouldn't have been the right time for her to complain. It would have been the right time for her to complain. So, if you are at that level as Abu Bakr, and you do it, then it's alright. But if you're not at that level, then don't play around. You act according to your level. Well, some other time is up now.